You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in, a Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Great show coming up for you, as we're going to talk to Cal Eldred, our friend, Kansas City Royals pitching coach, and the former major leaguer, about what's going on with the Royals, what's going on, the latest in Major League Baseball. What do prospects look like? We'll just talk about anything under the sun with our friend Cal Eldred. That'll be coming up. We'll take a look at another honor for Luca Garza and more. It is Gym Class coming your way for a Friday on KGYM. And one more time, this very unusual, crazy week, we welcome you in to the Gym Class on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash with you. Here in studio, Mark Dukes at his southwest side residence, joining us here on the Skype machine here today. How are you doing, Mark? Good afternoon.
Doing very well. Thank you, Scott. Hello, everyone. And hope you're making the best of it out there as we are.
Yeah, and more about that coming up here in just a moment. Want to let you know right out of the chute, we are presented by Hennings Financial. Hennings Financial Incorporated, your retirement rollover specialist. Hennings Financial is a Cedar Rapids-based financial services firm focused on your retirement journey. Find out more at KGYMRadio.com. Also, want to let you know at KGYMRadio.com, we've got a brand new area for you under our happenings at the gym section. It is called, they're still open, delivery carryout curbside. Please support local businesses out there. Many of these folks do some advertising with KGYM. We do appreciate that. And even though things aren't normal, we'd just want to let everybody know the folks that are still open out there. We do appreciate their help, and we'll get all through this together here. And also a reminder that you can hear us not only at 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 in Iowa City, and the new Jim OT 107.5 FM. You can stream KGYM directly to your computer or tablet at KGYMRadio.com, KGYM Radio app as well, or get KGYM on your Amazon Echo or Google Home speaker. You can find out more on that at KGYMRadio.com. So lots of things, a lot of ways to get us here with Scott and Mark taking it through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. Really looking forward to talking with Cal. Mark, I wish we weren't going to talk to Cal, because if this was the normal setting, he would be about a week away from getting the regular season underway with his Kansas City Royals. But this is not a usual summer, or spring.
No, it certainly isn't. Spring training games called off last week, and the Royals scheduled to open against your Chicago White Sox next Thursday. Obviously, that's not the case. Rob Manfred, MLB commissioner, has said that the season won't start until probably mid-May at the earliest. And a lot of things to talk to Cal about in that regard.
Yeah, because this is different, I think, than the hockey, than the than NBA as well, because the players haven't started yet. The season hasn't started yet. NBA, NHL, they are three-quarters of the way through their season, almost 80% of the way through their season. They are in mid-season form, if you will. Baseball, especially the pitchers, you just can't shut it down and then turn the key and be all ready to go. And we'll talk with Cal about that. The way the major leaguers right now protect the arms of not only their starting staffs, but also everybody down the line as far as the minor leagues are concerned, that's first and foremost on the mind of people like Cal, I would imagine.
Yeah, as a former major league pitcher, there's no question about it that Cal would have some insight in that regard. And the fact that he's still a major league baseball pitching coach, I'm interested to hear what, you know, the message was to the players as they, I think camps are still open, but most of the players and staff have have returned to their homes. I know Cal and his wife Christy just a couple days ago completed their drive back from Arizona and are now at home and like everyone else, waiting to see what's going to happen.
Yep, that's the big thing. We're all in a waiting pattern right now. We haven't been through this before. God willing, we won't have to go through this again, but we'll see how it all plays out. And we're just there's no roadmap as far as what we're going through right now is concerned. Plenty to talk about other than baseball. One negative today, the latest postponement as far as the coronavirus is concerned. And talking with Buttons a little bit before the show here today, he is gutted by this news, and that is that the annual Scripps Spelling Bee will not take place this year. Buttons is very unhappy.
Yes, I saw that, and too bad for the kids, but it makes sense. No question about it. I always like tuning into that every now and then because I deal with words, have all my life, but plenty of them out there, I have no idea what the, the word is.
Do you just want to turn to somebody in the day and go, what are all the questions they ask, no matter if they know the word, don't know the word, origin, please, origin? Buttons is coming in. Buttons is coming in here because now he's laughing on the other side of the glass here. He's laughing it up here. What are the questions they ask? They ask origin, correct, Buttons?
Yeah, it's origin. Use it in a sentence.
Use it in a sentence, okay.
Oh, what are the other ones now?
Those are the two big ones.
So, yep. And then a lot of the times it's repeat it.
Yeah. Okay. We can get by that, but origin and please use it in a sentence.
Yeah, exactly.
Has Buttons ever been in a bee?
I love the spelling bee.
Go ahead, Mark.
Has Buttons ever been in a bee?
Have you ever been in a spelling bee?
No, I can't spell.
Wow. So you just tune in to take in the awe that usually is the spelling bee.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I'm just jealous.
Yeah. They should have. Thank you, Buttons. Appreciate it.
And you're welcome.
We're all very sorry that the bee will not take place this year. They should have, for former editors of sports sections, they should have like a grammar bee, shouldn't they, Mark? And you just have a big red pen or something like that in the background every time.
I think I'd be a contender, Scott. I really do.
319-366-1600. Let us know if you're going to miss a spelling bee this year. That is the First Federal Credit Union text line. Check them out online at firstfedcu.com. For more information, go to our website, kgymradio.com. Luca Garza.
Let's get to Luca, but I also noticed today in relationship to the coronavirus that USA Swimming is recommending that the Olympics be postponed a year, and I think really that may be the next major event that's addressed.
Yeah, and that event is not until that's a ways down the calendar. That's a ways down mm-hmm. the calendar, but that is something again they're training for right now. We don't know all the athletes that are going to be there. The trials still have to take place for a lot of the sports that are included in the Olympics. And with that in mind, I saw the swimming recommendation, saw a couple other sports with their recommendation. It is not going to shock me if that is the case now, though, that again, and it was interesting, Matt Perrault brought this up on Pushing the Odds today on his show on 107.5 and 106.3 from Vegas between 12 and 3. It was a hypothetical question, but it's a question that is going, we have kind of hit the tip of the iceberg on this, Mark, you and I, in the last couple of days or so. And that is what's going to happen with all these sports going off at the same time. And, and what is going to happen when there's not enough networks to show all of the events that are out there? TV, whether you like it or not, TV is king. TV dictates sporting contracts. And if they're all going off at the same time, somebody's going to be left out. Are you going to play these things at 10 o'clock at night? I don't think so. If you move the Olympics from 2020 to 2021, that's going to take something out of there. Probably going to butt up against the National Football League in 2021, for instance. So there are a lot of people that are slightly more than my pay grade here that are coming up with these answers. I think probably even right now.
Yeah, it's another of the great unknowns, at least in the sports world, as we go through this situation. NBC, as we mentioned yesterday, has the rights to the Olympics, and if it's, say, it's pushed back into the fall, that butts up against football. So what you say is very true.
On the text line, 1345, I vote leave Major League Baseball out of television. Show everyone everything else, I would imagine, is what they're saying. Major League Baseball still has the gigantic television contract with Fox, as well as the levels of Fox, FS1, etc., Fox Television, Fox Sports, if you will. Most of the Major League games are shown on regional basis anyway. Perhaps baseball might not be the biggest problem of all this, but remains to be seen. Remains to be seen out there.
Yeah, it does. News of the day, as you started to before I interrupted, Luca Garza, the Iowa junior center, named AP First Team All-America, and only the third one in Iowa history. It's hard to believe. I think you would agree, but Murray Weir in 1948 and Chuck Darling in 1952 are the only other Iowa players to be named First Team Associated Press All-America. And I should say, Scott, that we've gotten some questions about what a consensus All-America player is, how that's determined. And I will tell you, it's by four outlets: the Associated Press, the National Association of Basketball Coaches, the United States Basketball Writers Association, and Sporting News. Garza has already made the AP and Sporting News All-America first teams. So the NABC and the U.S. basketball writers remain for that. That's all that's in the way of Garza becoming a consensus All-American.
And if it was football, he would have his number and his name on the scoreboard facade at Kinnick Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Gustafson went through this last year. Of course, she was named National Player of the Year. Luca Garza is still in the running as far as that is concerned, along with Obi Toppin, among others, for the Naismith Trophy, the Oscar Robertson Trophy, the Wooden Award, the Jabbar Award, and the Lute Olson Award as well. He is a finalist for all five of those national awards. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out here. Still has a year of eligibility remaining. Keep that in mind out there as well. And unless you're out there driving around, raise your hand if you came up with the other two first-team All-Americans for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Not so fast,
right,
everybody out there. if you said it had been 68 years since Iowa's last first-team All-American, that's pretty hard to believe with the talent that has come through Iowa City over the years. I mean,
yeah,
it really is. I mean, a lot of people would have said Ronnie Lester, I think. That may have been the last really good guess, but Ronnie was not a first-team All-American.
Yeah, it is kind of head-scratching to think that no Iowa player has been a first-team Associated Press All-America since Chuck Darling. And as many great players that have come through Iowa, I guess that speaks to, you know, the annual depth of talent across the country. I'm not sure the timing of the announcement in Ronnie Lester's day. Of course, he was hurt in the NCAA tournament, and maybe would have done great things had he not been hurt. But just a lot of great players, but none have reached these heights. And that's the next big story, I think, Scott, is when Garza makes the decision whether he's going to come back or not.
Yeah, a lot of speculation that he will. That would make Iowa a very formidable team next year as far as the Hawkeyes. And we hope there is a next season. That's the next thing out there.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment on Luka and his latest award, the Day of the Weekends with Y. So Luka must have gotten honored by somebody today, and he did today by the Associated Press out there. We're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up. When are we talking to Cal, Mark? 5 minutes-ish?
He will answer the phone whenever we choose to call.
Okay. All right. So we'll do that. I do want to hit upon last night and the rebroadcast of the Michigan State-Indiana State. I want to get that real quick. We'll talk more about it because did look up some facts and figures about that as I was listening to the ball game last night. Hope everybody enjoyed that last night. I thought it was sensational. 41 years ago, going that far back, and to see how much things have changed as far as, first of all, air quality as far as the broadcast is concerned. Just the way broadcasts are done from 1979 to 2020, where we are at right now. Very, very interesting. But Westwood One, in case you missed it, last night kicked off their feature. Since we have no March Madness this year, we're going to play from Westwood One for you on 107.5 and 106.3 FM tonight, again at 7 o'clock. We'll tell you about the game coming up in a moment. Last night, though, was Bird versus Magic in 1979, the national championship game in Salt Lake City, as it was Michigan State topping Indiana State and beating the Sycamores there. But what I thought it was just fascinating radio last night.
Yeah, I tuned in as well, Scott, for a period of time, and I thought it was super interesting. You forget some of the players that were on those teams, Greg Kelser from Michigan State, among others, and it was, you know, we remember that game when it was played, but to hear it back all these years later was really cool, and another good one tonight.
Another good one tonight, much more recent. 2 years ago, 2018, the highs and the lows of March Madness. The last time March Madness was played, the Virginia Cavaliers were cutting down the nets. Not so much in 2018, as Virginia became the first number one seed to go down to a number 16, as the Terriers of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, pulled off the absolute amazing stunner, perhaps of all time in NCAA history, as they topped. It wasn't even close either. I mean, this thing was a blowout for UMBC a couple years ago. They became the darlings of the tournament, lost in the next round, though. But they will replay that game tonight between Maryland, Baltimore County, and the number one seeded Virginia Cavaliers tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have it on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And I definitely remember all about that game, but it'll still be fun to listen to.
That will be a lot of fun, and looking forward to that. We'll have games into the weekend. And, Scott, I know you know this. There's a 10-year anniversary going on today related to the NCAA tournament, and it's pretty close to home.
Yeah, it is. We're gonna save that, though. We're gonna give people a chance to think about that one just a little bit here. 43-98 on the text line after last night's game. How do you think Bird and Johnson's NBA careers will turn out? not bad. Not bad. They gave some great background in the game as well and talked with a lot of the folks from that particular ball game last night, which was very, very interesting. Cajun Troy weighing in. I was 17 years old. I listened on the ride home. Very nice. Yeah, a lot of people remember kind of where they were. That was a game that was a very much a watershed game, not only for college basketball, but as I mentioned, for the NBA, because that ignited the NBA with Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson in the next couple of decades as far as NBA basketball is concerned. So we'll talk more about that.
I was 23. I didn't realize I was older than Cajun Troy. I'll be darned.
Oh. Yeah, see what I'm going to do right here? I'm just going to leave Mark here and leave the text line open. And, I'll let just Troy just Don't make Troy angry. Don't make Troy angry. Yeah, we'll talk more about that game. We'll talk a little bit about what happened 10 years ago today as well on this very date. But we're going to take a break, come back, and our friend Cal Eldred will join us, the pitching coach for the Kansas City Royals, and plenty to discuss with Cal. So stay with us. More to come. Gym Class for a Friday. Scott and Mark with you, presented by Hennings Financial, coming your way right here on KGYM.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, they're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
The term yoga in general kind of emulates community. I had the business plan in my head for years, but never really knew if I was going to be able to kind of take that leap. I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but I knew that the passion was going to make it not seem like work. Jupaca was really there for me, helping me kind of gain financial literacy. So that way, the day that I did actually walk in the door, I had a really good credit score. Anything along the way that I did, I wanted to make sure that I was being smart about it and I was doing it the best way possible. Everything from the business loan to setting up the LLC and then the insurance to the business as well too. Jupaco really was a great guide and a resource for me getting this whole entire project off the ground. We've built an amazing community here within Soul Revolution, and honestly, we could not have done that without the help and support of Jupaco. There's been a couple of classes when I'll walk in, and especially when it's a busy room and I start to get choked up. Those are the days when it's like, this is what I was supposed to do.
Your money for good. Learn more at tobacco.com. Equal housing opportunity.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Life gets real when you think about your son or daughter's future. College costs more than it used to, and careers have changed a lot too. So do you want to let your kid graduate with a mountain of debt in a tricky job market? Probably not. Consider a smarter option, Smart 263. Their apprentice program has stellar training, excellent support, and a game plan for a great-paying career without spending a dime on school. Get all the details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back in the gym class at 3:26. Being presented by Hennings Financial again here today. And we'll talk a little bit more about an anniversary date today. We'll talk a little bit more as well about the game last night you heard between Indiana State and Michigan State back in 1979. By the way, Troy, Mark, has responded.
Yes.
She says, ha, ha, ha. And love you both, guys. Makes a social butterfly smile during social isolation. And now, of course, Troy was the one that brilliantly came up with the, what was it yesterday? The virtual happy hour, the video happy hour, or whatever the case may be from yesterday. So anyway, 61-70 before we get to Cal here. Maybe you already said this. I believe the 79 game still has the highest TV rating for an NCAA championship. I would have to double check on that, but I know it was very, very big back then. But yeah, we'll see. It was a very, 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 very good night. Interesting. Going to talk with our friend Cal Eldred, the pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals, and kind enough to join us here on this Friday in March here on KGYM as he joins us from Iowa instead of the desert in Arizona. And you love Iowa, I know, Cal, but I know you'd rather be in Arizona with all your pitchers around you, wouldn't you?
No doubt, Scott. I mean, you think about it, and I do love the state of Iowa. Everybody knows that. But this is a rare situation, very unusual situation. But we're not the only ones dealing with it in baseball. The whole world's dealing with it, and our country's dealing with it. So we have hit pause, and just like everyone else, but it's the right thing to do at this moment.
Cal, take us through the last few days of spring training, which seems like a long time ago, but it was only a little more than a week ago. Take us through the last few days of spring and what you guys were being told and what the players were being told.
Well, it was very unusual, and I know it was interesting because we found that everybody in the complex, everybody that had something to do with baseball, whether it was front office, players, coaches, media, we were all kind of in the same boat. I think the media was looking for a story, and they knew we didn't have it, and that was very unusual. But we came to the complex, and as soon as I have a couple text threads that have all of our pitchers that we had 39 pitchers in camp. And I'd sent out the schedule for the next day to the guys, and then we saw that the NBA had postponed their season. And immediately Mike Montgomery texts, are we next? And from there, it was just a gradual finding out of information over the next 2 days of what was going to be ultimately, hey, look, you guys, we're shutting down. April 9th is a date, but we all kind of knew that that was probably not going to happen even when it was first put out there. But it gave us a date to at least start and realize, let's just pause for a second. But quickly, even within the next 48 hours, we knew that starting on April 9th probably wasn't going to happen. So our workouts, and this is the big thing, our guys were just to the point, Mark, that they were ready. Our starters were going four innings. They were ready to get over the hump. Relievers were going back, about to go back-to-back days. They were ready to get over that hump where they knew we're ready to compete for the regular season. And then the very next day, we're playing catch, and guys are like, do I really need to throw a 25-pitch side? You could just see the air being let out of everybody. And so now, where we're at now, we've got a few guys who have stayed at our complex in Arizona, and we also have guys who have a lot of guys gone home. And they're advising us at some point, I wouldn't be surprised they shut down all the spring training facilities and even our facility in Kansas City. But that's a little premature right now, but that's how it kind of went.
Well, and you hit a couple of different topics there that we need to discuss. And that's what makes baseball a little bit more unique than the situation with the NBA, Cal, and with the NHL. They're already 75% through their season. They're in midseason form. We talked about that at the start of the show. But like you said, with pitchers, it's a whole lot different. And it's tough on arms to do that and to start it up again. And sometime we're going to have to start it up again. And how cautious are you and the Royals and the rest of Major League and Minor League Baseball going to be with all these pitchers?
Well, you know, it's interesting because none of these players have dealt with a work stoppage. I mean, fortunately, we've gotten that far into history now that we've gotten away from the work stoppages. And this has nothing to do with players and owners and MLB arguing about anything. This is what's best for everybody. But we're sitting here and they look back at the strike and the lockout in 94 and 95, and we had about 3 weeks of spring training to get ready to go. And Scott, you pointed out the difference even then was we were home. We were building up towards spring training on our own, and we hadn't started. And now we're in a position where we've got guys who were throwing 65, 70 pitches in games, and now they've backed down. So now you got this letdown. I'm going to guess we're going to need a minimum of 4 weeks truly to get our pitchers back to where they were and maybe just a step further to get the season started, which means you've got to know, May 30th that June 15th we can start working out. and you're not going to start the season until, you know, after the right at the All-Star break. So I don't know if that's the date, but that's kind of how this is going to have to work. And, you know, you may see a whole different way of using pitchers, starters and relievers, if we have a very short season. And so there's so much that's going to have to be done, but you cannot skip around, to your point, Scott. 4 weeks. We definitely need 4 weeks for our pitchers.
Cal, there's no way it's going to be a 162-game season, right?
And no chance. I know the players, there was some talk that if we went to the April 9th date or it was in April, you know, if we got to where we lost 15 to 20 games on this front end of the season and then started playing again, they were talking about losing off days, playing through the All-Star break, possibly making some games up at the end of the year. I just don't see us going back soon enough to make that happen.
Well, how many would you say, and just knowing what your pitchers are going through, what everybody else, position players, et cetera, what can be the minimum number of games that we can play to have a major league season this year?
Well, it's interesting. That's a great question, Scott, because we had a lot of this discussion in the coach's office before we left, and a lot of our guys who had played winter ball, who had played, you know, and our Latin players who have the winter ball season, and they kind of the beginning of the winter ball season, a lot of the younger kids play, and then as you get a month and a half in, you start seeing a lot of the regular guys play, the big leaguers that. And those their season, even though the beginning counts, they start playing because one, players are getting ready for spring training, but two, they're coming towards the last month and a half of their season, and it's such a short season that we talked about. Man, I don't know. You think is 80 games? Do we have to play half a season? 60 games? I still think even if we get down to 60 games left in the season. It would change the way things are done a lot, but I still think it would be an extremely interesting season. Plus, quite frankly, I'll get our guys going for 60 games because I think at that point in time, our country's going to need some stuff to watch and celebrate as much as anything.
Cal, before this all happened, tell us how the spring was going for the Kansas City Royals and your pitching staff in particular, because you went through 27 pitchers last year and probably sought some help in the off season. How is spring going?
Well, I'll tell you what spring training was, we were pretty excited. We didn't go out. We didn't really sign any free agents of name to add to the pitching staff, but we added a guy like Trevor Rosenthal, who's having a really good spring training, a kid like Braden Shipley, who was with the Diamondbacks, was a first-round pick of the Diamondbacks in 2014, and he was having a really good spring. But quite honestly, we've stayed in-house with a lot of our pitchers, and a lot of our guys that got experience last year were having really good spring trainings. Josh Stamont has kind of, you can see this guy developing. Glenn Sparkman's a pitcher that did some starting for us last year. We were using him in two inning roles here in spring training, and he was really having a lot of success. And then, if anybody knows the Kansas City Royals, they know that we've got a very good young crop of pitchers. And we saw Jackson Kowar and Brady Singer, Chris Bubich, among a few others that were a part of our spring training. And we still have Brady Singer in spring training. So we have some really young guys who got some experience in spring training, and even like Brady's still with us. Another young kid, Tyler Zuber, who's pitched extremely well, would be a bullpen arm. So our pitchers, what we've tried to accomplish over the offseason and during spring training is to really work with the guys that we have and try to add a guy like Trevor Rosenthal or Braden Shipley to the mix, and Greg Holland to the mix, somebody who's been there and done that, to really help add some depth to our pitching staff.
Cal Elder joining us at 3:38 on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM as we talk about baseball's stoppage here due to the coronavirus and the spreading, to stop the spreading of the coronavirus. And you talked about all the young pitchers. The Royals got a ton of them, Cal. And that's what maybe makes this even harder for Kansas City and the organization, because there is no blueprint as far as these kids are concerned. Kids that aren't going to start with you at Kauffman Stadium, that are going to be in the minor leagues, and how teams, not only the Royals or other teams, are going to work with the arms in this day and age of 2020, when we know these things are very big commodities.
Yeah, when you spend as much as some of the slot money on your first, second, third round picks these days, you've got to really pay close attention to how you're working with these kids. But for us, and I think, Scott, you're alluding to this, this is going to be tough moving forward, because we talk about a big league season and what can happen there, but we have a lot of minor league affiliates that are spread all over the country that we are planning on having a lot of these young arms getting their experience at these places. And are those places going to be open? Are these players going to be able to go and get that much needed experience, even if we play half a season? I could honestly see where all the levels, your top four levels, are kept at the spring training facilities, and teams play like an extended spring training schedule to finish up the year. It just depends on how short this season's going to be. Hopefully, we can get going here relatively soon, and none of these cities, I know here in Cedar Rapids, nobody no fans, they don't want to not have baseball here this summer. But as things go right now, it's about the development of those players. And so that's another decision that's going to need to be made and soon.
Cal, a lot of off-season moves by many teams, not unusual. Did any raise some eyebrows for you, either re-signings or deals, especially in the American League Central where Kansas City resides?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not real too happy about all the time we spent with Homer Bailey, and now he's pitching for the Twins, I'll say that. But I could tell you a whole lot about him. But we lost Jake Diekman too. That was a trade, and then he signed back with Oakland. And, you know, when you lose those guys that you feel like you spent a lot of time with, and they pitched extremely well for us, and I'm really, really happy for the player. But I think Minnesota in our division went out and tried to shore up some of their pitching issues. They feel like they've got a chance to win. They feel like they should win this division again. And they tried to make sure that they were going to be able to do that. So I think they've made themselves better. I think the Chicago White Sox, without even saying it, really they've pushed forward and signed some veteran guys and are trying to bring a Keuchel in, and I think offensively they've got some young players that are going to be guys that are going to be around for a while. They've got Abreu still DHing and playing first base, so I think they've gotten better. Cleveland's going to kind of depend on some of their young pitching and their younger position players, and they didn't trade Lindor, which tells you they're not going anywhere either. So a lot of you know, naysayers say that ourselves and Detroit don't have a chance in this division, but I still think that those two teams, being Minnesota and the White Sox, have gotten better. I think we're better just because we've gotten experience and we've added a couple people that are going to help us have more depth in our bullpen. But our offense got a lot of experience last year, and having Jorge Soler and Dozier and having Salvi back is really going to help us a lot. So I think for the Central Division, every fan's going to see better baseball than what they saw last year.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Cal, you also have boys playing baseball, and we don't have college baseball going on. Who knows how it's going to go with the minor leagues? Who knows how it's going to go for the summer? Different leagues that they have around the country anyway. There's talk about not even having a Major League Baseball draft this year, and I just wanted to get your thoughts about that too.
Well, and you're right, Scott. We're hearing all kinds of things. You're hearing you know, it's been said that college players will get their year of eligibility back. That sounds really good, but let's wait to see what the NCAA and all the little regulations they put on all that. For a kid like my younger son, Luke, who's at Dallas Baptist, who had Tommy John surgery and is going to miss this whole season, well, that sounds fantastic. You know, he's getting a year back plus his, you know, a redshirt situation. So it's a big help, but you got a lot of seniors. He talks about the seniors on his team and kids who are graduating, and do they stick around? Luke himself is going to graduate. So do these kids stick around? And then you add in the talk about us not having a major league draft. And part of that is no one's gotten to play. No one's gotten to either get better or find out that they don't belong at that level. So it's a tough situation. I have a hard time imagining us not having a draft. I know there's been talk of the draft, even before all this happened, the draft going down to 20 rounds. So I think we're in a big transition period with a lot of this. But we also look at, and thankfully Major League Baseball came through and they're going to pay these minor league kids a little bit of money anyhow to survive during this situation, because that's my oldest son, CJ, that's in a minor leaguer, and he's got a lot of buddies that are playing all over professional baseball who say, I can't make it. I can't keep sticking it out if I'm going to make half a year's salary, which I don't need to tell you guys is not a whole year's salary, is not much in a minor league. So it affects a lot of people. It affects the young umpires. It affects the concessions. It affects all these small towns where all these minor league facilities are. Plus, you look at the teams like the Northwoods League that has teams there, and those people love their baseball and depend on that too.
Hey, Cal, this topic is kind of blown over considering everything that has happened, but I'm curious, and you may not be able to reveal things 100% to us and our audience, but the Houston Astros situation, what happened to them, and what they may face when the season does resume?
Well, you know what? It's interesting because some of those decisions were made, and I know it's made by Manfred and the commissioner and the commissioner's office and the rules committee and all this stuff. But excuse me, I think, but we were all apart from each other. In other words, we weren't the coaches and players, and we weren't together when those decisions came down and people lost their jobs. And I think when you get the players together and the coaches together and baseball back together, I think a lot of people thought the players got off pretty easy. And I think a lot of the players felt like it should have been worse. It should have been harsher. That's coming from, you know, their own their own fraternity. So it's I don't think this is necessarily gonna die down. I think it has died down a lot, but I think that players don't forget this. They're gonna understand that this was wrong, and if it's done other places, that's wrong. But it is gonna have a very, very big effect on how technology is going to be used during major league games.
Are the Astros the only team, Cal?
I would think that as you look around baseball, as far as being that technical and out just that obvious, I would say they're the only ones that they've been investigated that far and seen a team that has had that kind of success. Now, I know there's an investigation going on with the Boston Red Sox, and I don't know if they're going to find this kind of stuff with them. But I do know that baseball sure wishes this black eye would go away. There's no question. But I still think that for our fans and for young kids who play the game, there has to be consequences for this. Even if that means that we have a couple black eyes. And that's my opinion. I don't think we send the right message if we just want this to just go away. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with the consequences. So what happens with the report comes out with the Red Sox, we'll have to work through that too. But I do know this. When we got back together, a lot of the players and the coaches were like, wow, coaches and managers lose their jobs. And players, you know, what's the punishment for the player? And that's the, other than having a fan yell at him and say something to him. Well, guess what? That happens in Philadelphia, New York every day.
Don't dig in too much. That's,
right.
That's what you're seeing right now.
Yeah, you're seeing it with the rules committee. I mean, they're talking about, you know, even players are talking about, we got to get away from, you know, throwing, you know, hitting batters on purpose. And the policing of the game has been taken away from the players, and that's our rules committee's fault. But it's baseball's fault. But I also understand that players need to be protected, and it's a tough situation for Joe Torre and our rules committee, and Chris Young's in the middle of that. I do not envy their situation, but specifically with Houston, I'm not saying we're doing anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't lead the league and hits batters at the end of this thing.
I would agree. I would agree with that wholeheartedly right there. And before we let you go here, Cal, I will say this. It may not be a bad thing to have a condensed 60-day season, 60-game season for baseball, to just get everything thrown together. Every game is going to have a whole ton of meaning at that point. And maybe this is what it takes to get baseball re-energized as far as the national landscape is concerned. Maybe we can make a good out of a bad situation here.
Well, I think there's a lot of people in the game that say, hey, let's learn from this. If we play 60 games, then let's understand maybe we do play too many games. Maybe the season is too long. Maybe we need to make the regular season mean a little more. I do like a rather lengthy season. If the NBA can play 80 some games, then we can play over 100, but it doesn't necessarily need to be 162 games. I also know this is a fact. These players need to throw, they need to hit, they need to play the game. And whether we're doing that in an 80-game season or a 60-game season, they need to continue to do that. So as soon as we know we can get back on the field, I think we need to get back to our reduced spring training, even though it's going to be really hot in Arizona and Florida. but I'm going to tell you, we need to do it, Scott. We need to do it for our players and for everybody that's involved in the game. But I agree with you. A 60-game season or an 80-game season would really be interesting and would really energize our fans and would be something different that maybe we can learn a lot of things from.
Don't want baseball in December.
No, we do not. Not in Chicago.
Hey, Cal,
Minnesota.
On that drive back from Arizona with Christy, she probably had plenty of time for creation of to-do lists, huh?
Oh my gosh, you should see the size of this thing. And she looks at me like, your motivation is like a turtle right now. And she's exactly right. But I keep telling her, quarantine means no work. And she's like, no, it doesn't. So there's plenty of things that she's salivating because she says, this guy's not around here to take care of all this stuff. And now I've got him here. So, fellas, if you want to call, that's great because it might be the only 30 minutes I'm not working all day long.
We'll do that. Cal, appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll be talking about on-field baseball again pretty soon. But enjoy even the honey-do list, and we'll talk soon.
You bet. Enjoy your families, guys, while you can be with them.
All right. Cal Eldred, former major leaguer pitching coach for the Kansas City Royals, joining us. We're going to take a break, come back, and have more about last night's classic game on Westwood One and a little bit more about it, a special anniversary today when we come back.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Hey guys, it's time to get ready for outside living again at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, they're the only area distributor for the new Weber 24-inch wood pellet smoker, so you can smoke, grill, or sear right in the backyard. Just $999.
Right, Hal. And Scott's four-step lawn program is just $64.99 with rebate and covers 5,000 square feet.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village, all one word, to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
I have to go to the gym and untangle my headphones while warming up on the treadmill. And I'll finally untangle them 4 miles later, at which point I'm going to be real tired! Oh, yeah!
Motorcycles make everything exciting. And when GEICO makes it easy to switch and save on motorcycle insurance, it's even more exciting.
And once I put my headphones in, I realize my phone's dead! Then I get to run in silence!
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It's spring, and with the Home Depot in your corner, there's never been a better time to be a doer, with new ways to knock more projects off your list. Download our app for new tools like image search. Snap a picture of something, it'll tell you what it is, and our product locator will lead you right to it in the store. Can't make it to the store? We have a truckload of convenient delivery options. From time-saving tools to game-changing innovations, it's a good time to be a doer, this spring, at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:54 here on KGYM. Our thanks to Cal Eldred for joining us. Scott and Mark with you. Back on Monday. Should have high school football schedules on Monday. Officially, we'll have high school football schedules on Monday. We'll talk more about that coming up at the time. There were some unofficial things that came out very quickly earlier on. 8670 on the text line was asking, did not catch the entire Cal Eldred interview, asked where is the season going to be. I said 60 to 80 games. Right now, right, but how many division games, interleague, et cetera? They don't know yet. That's what they got to come up with. I'm not sure we'll have a lot of interleague games, but we'll see how it all plays out. A couple more facts and figures. First of all, Mark, 10-year anniversary today. I know exactly what I was doing when this game occurred. Today is the 10th anniversary of one of the great upsets. We hit upon it yesterday. You and I taking down the Kansas Jayhawks 10 years ago on this very March 20th of 2010.
Yeah, it happened in St. Louis, I believe, at the Midwest Regional. And you and I was the number nine seed, and Kansas the overall number one seed. Ali Farouk Dimesh, with a three-pointer with 34 seconds left, gave you and I a four-point lead, and then it ended up to be a 69-67 win for you and I, and it was one of the greats in NCAA tournament and you and I history. And the Panthers eventually lost in the Sweet 16 to Michigan State by seven. But Farouk Dimesh and Eagle Cedar and that whole group, man, they went 29-5, Scott.
Yep. And guess what? If they wouldn't have won the Valley Tournament that year, they still would have gotten in, but they wouldn't have gotten in 2020 with that team if they didn't win the Valley Tournament, which is absolutely revolting. But that's just the way it is 10 years ago to now. But congratulations. That was a pull-up three, by the way, by Ali back then. Last night with the Indiana State-Michigan State game, Kaywood Ledford was on the call of that game. Kaywood Ledford, the longtime voice of the Big Blue Nation, Kentucky basketball, along with Bobby Knight, was doing the color commentary. There was no Westwood One NCAA basketball network back then. It was basically given away. You could have picked it up if you were a station around the country. It was put on the network by NBC Radio Sports because NBC had the rights to the tournament back then, Mark. And we'll go another minute here just to give you a heads up. But yeah, it wasn't like the Westwood One radio network that we have in place and would have had in place for 2020. It was a completely different situation back in 1979.
It was indeed, and normally we'd be off the air today because that would be the second day, aside from the first four games, the second day of the NCAA tournament. But It was a fascinating listen, and there's more to come tonight and this weekend.
Yep, tonight it'll be the 16 taking down the 1, as it was Maryland-Baltimore County a couple years ago, beating the Virginia Cavaliers. And, yeah, that should be a lot of fun. Doubleheaders tomorrow and Sunday on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Those begin at 11 o'clock in the morning. Again, doubleheaders Saturday and Sunday, classic NCAA tournament games. Mark, have a safe weekend. We will talk and reconvene on Monday.
You as well.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex next, KGYM.
Say goodnight to frozen folded eggs and barely there bacon, America, because Wendy's is now serving up breakfast, and it's going to be America's favorite. They just don't know it yet.
These are a few of my favorite things.
We're talking freshly cracked eggs, oven-cooked bacon. How did I even do mornings before this breakfast goodness? Come into Wendy's to try our new breakfast Baconator, the Frosty Chino.